Harper Audio presents Anne Frank, Diary of a Young Girl, performed by Claire Bloom. The simple, sincere words of a young Jewish girl in hiding from the Nazis in war-ravaged Amsterdam in the 1940s.
Saturday, the 20th of June. I haven't written for a few days because I wanted, first of all, to think about my diary. It's an odd idea for someone like me to keep a diary. Not only because I've never done so before, but because it seems to me that neither I, nor for that matter anyone else, will be interested in the unbosomings of a 13-year-old schoolgirl. Still, what does that matter? I want to write, but more than that, I want to bring out all kinds of things that lie buried deep in my heart. There is a saying that paper is more patient than man. It came back to me on one of my slightly melancholy days, while I sat chin in hand, feeling too bored and limp even to make up my mind whether to go out or stay at home. Yes, there is no doubt that paper is patient, and as I don't intend to show this cardboard-covered notebook bearing the proud name of diary to anyone, unless I find a real friend, boy or girl, probably nobody cares. And now I come to the root of the matter, the reason for my starting a diary. It is that I have no such real friend. Well, let me put it more clearly, since no one will believe that a girl of 13 feels herself quite alone in the world, nor is it so. I have darling parents and a sister of 16. I know about 30 people whom one might call friends. I have strings of boyfriends anxious to catch a glimpse of me and who, failing that, peep at me through mirrors in class. I have relations, aunts and uncles, who are darlings too. A good home. No, I don't seem to lack anything, but it's the same with all my friends, just fun and joking, nothing more. I can never bring myself to talk of anything outside the common round. We don't seem to be able to get any closer. That is the root of the trouble. Well, perhaps I lack confidence, but anyway, there it is, a stubborn fact, and I don't seem to be able to do anything about it. Hence this diary. In order to enhance in my mind's eye the picture of the friend for whom I've waited so long, I don't want to set down a series of bald facts in a diary like most people do, but I want this diary itself to be my friend. And I shall call my friend Kitty. No one will grasp what I'm talking about if I begin my letters to Kitty, just out of the blue. Thursday, the 9th of July. Dear Kitty, so we walked in the pouring rain, Daddy, Mummy, and I, each with a school satchel and shopping bag filled to the brim with all kinds of things thrown together anyhow. We got sympathetic looks from people on their way to work. You could see by their faces how sorry they were they couldn't offer us a lift. The gaudy yellow star spoke for itself. Only when we got on the road did Mummy and Daddy begin to tell me bits and pieces about the plan. For months, as many of our goods and chattels and necessities of life as possible had been sent away, and they were sufficiently ready for us to have gone into hiding of our own accord on July 16th. The plan had had to be speeded up 10 days because of the call-up, so our quarters would not be so well organized, but we had to make the best of it. The hiding place itself would be in the building where Daddy had his office. It'll be hard for outsiders to understand, but I shall explain that later on. Daddy didn't have many people working for him. Mr. Kraler, Kupius, Meep, and Ellie Vossen, a 23-year-old typist who all knew of our arrival. Mr. Vossen, Ellie's father, and two boys worked in the warehouse. They had not been told. Yours, Anne. Saturday, the 11th of July. Dear Kitty, Daddy, Mummy, and Margot can't get used to the sound of the Vestatoren clock yet, which tells us the time every quarter of an hour. I can. I loved it from the start, and especially in the night. It's like a faithful friend. I expect you'll be interested to hear what it feels like to disappear. Well, all I can say is that I don't know myself yet. I don't think I shall ever feel really at home in this house. But that doesn't mean that I loathe it here. It's more like being on vacation in a very peculiar boarding house. Rather a mad idea, perhaps. That's how it strikes me. We've forbidden Margot to cough at night, although she has a bad cold, and make her swallow large doses of codeine. I'm looking for Tuesday when the Vandans arrive. It'll be much more fun and not so quiet. It's the silence that frightens me so in the evenings and at night. I wish, like anything, that one of our protectors could sleep here at night. I can't tell you how oppressive it is never to be able to go outdoors. Also, I'm very afraid that we shall be discovered and shot. not exactly a pleasant prospect. You have to whisper and tread lightly during the day, otherwise the people in the warehouse might hear us. Someone is calling me. Yours, Anne. Friday, the 14th of August. Dear Kitty, I've deserted you for a whole month, but honestly, there's so little news that I can't find amusing things to tell you every day. The Fandans arrived on July 13th. We thought they were coming on the 14th, but between the 13th and 16th of July, the Germans called up people right and left, which created more and more unrest. So they played for safety. Better a day too early than a day too late. At 9:30 in the morning, we were still having breakfast. Peter arrived, the Vandans' son, not 16 yet. Rather soft, shy, gawky youth. Can't expect much from his company. He brought his cat, Mushy, with him. Yours, Anne. Friday, 21st of August. Dear Kitty, the entrance to our hiding place has now been properly concealed. Mr. Crawler thought it would be better to put a cupboard in front of our door, because a lot of houses are being searched for hidden bicycles. But of course, it had to be a movable cupboard that can open like a door. I still don't like Peter anymore. He's so boring. He flops lazily on his bed half the time, does a bit of carpentry, and then goes back for another snooze. What a fool. It's lovely weather, and in spite of everything, we make the most we can of it by lying on a camp bed in the attic where the sun shines through an open window. Yours, Anne. Thursday, the 6th of January, 1944. Dear Kitty, my longing to talk to someone became so intense that somehow or other I took it into my head to choose Peter. Sometimes, if I've been upstairs into Peter's room during the day, it always struck me as very snug, but because Peter is so retiring and would never turn anyone out who became a nuisance, I never dared stay long because I was afraid he might think me a bore. I tried to think of an excuse to stay in his room and get him talking without it being too noticeable, and my chance came yesterday. Peter has a mania for crossword puzzles at the moment and hardly does anything else. I helped him with them, and we soon sat opposite each other at his little table, he on the chair and me on the divan. Gave me a queer feeling each time I looked into his deep blue eyes, and he sat there with that mysterious laugh playing round his lips. I was able to read his inward thoughts. I could see on his face that look of helplessness and uncertainty of how to behave, and at the same time a trace of his sense of manhood. I noticed his shy manner, and it made me feel very gentle. I couldn't refrain from meeting those dark eyes again and again. With my whole heart, I almost beseeched him, oh, tell me what is going on inside you. Oh, can't you look beyond this ridiculous chatter? But the evening passed and nothing happened except that I told him about blushing. Naturally, not what I've written, but just so he'd become more sure of himself as he grew older. When I lay in bed and thought over the whole situation, I found it far from encouraging, and the idea that I should beg for Peter's patronage was simply repellent. One can do a lot to satisfy one's longings, which certainly sticks out in my case, for I've made up my mind to go and sit with Peter more often and to get him talking somehow or other. Whatever you do, don't think I'm in love with Peter, not a bit of it. If the Vandans had had a daughter instead of a son, I should have tried to make friends with her too. Yours, Anne.
HarperCollins is the copyright owner of this recording. HarperCollins has consented to a limited distribution of Harper Audio as an 8 kHz computer sound file on Internet Town Hall. It is a violation of United States and international copyright law to copy these recordings in any other way. Harper Audio is a trademark of HarperCollins Publishers, Inc. To order a copy of this tape or to request a catalog of all Harper Audio spoken word cassettes, please call 1-800-C-HARPER or 717-941-1214 or send mail to harper@town.hall.org. This has been a production of the Internet Multicasting Service. Support for Harper Audio has been provided by HarperCollins and by Sun Microsystems and O'Reilly & Associates. Network connectivity provided by UUNet Technologies and by MFS DataNet.